church this evening. So glad to see y'all. Everybody tuning in live, good to see you this evening. Hope you're doing well. What a beautiful, beautiful day the Lord's given us. Let's all stand, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open our service. Does anyone on my right side have a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side have a spoken prayer request? Okay, well, praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, well, praise God. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand or a need. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, thank you for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Dear Lord, as we come together, dear Lord, tonight, may we be in one mind and one accord. Lord, ready to receive your word. Dear Lord, ready to worship you. And, dear Lord, ready to just to turn all of our attention on you tonight. Dear Lord, now as we come together, dear Lord, you know the prayer requests, you know those needs, those flash texts that we've been getting about those that are in situations of sickness or need protection or guidance. Dear Lord, we ask for you to touch each and every one. Lord, anyone watching on the live feed or at a later date, dear Lord, we know that let them feel your holy presence. And dear Lord, we know and we just want to praise and worship you, dear Lord. And now we ask you just to guide our service and please receive every song sung, every instrument played, dear Lord, just to lift up and honor you. And we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Let's all just get ready. Praise the Lord. Praise God. While you're standing, one that I love to sing. Turn to page 120. Victory in Jesus. Let's all just turn that way and just get ready. Praise God. And don't forget about Vacation Bible School and our homecoming coming up. Just praise the Lord.
Count.
Hallelujah. There is victory in Jesus. You might be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering and then call on a few special singers. Is anybody happy in here tonight? Anybody blessed? Who just want to praise the Lord and just give Him all the glory, all the glory, all the glory. Just praise the Lord. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering tonight, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
And the pretense. you touch my soul, and the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. And I'm still holding on. You're the best thing I ever found, and the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I burn them to the ground. And I'm still holding on. You're the best thing ever found. I tricked y'all tonight, didn't I?
Test. Hello. You don't need to have me as loud as her. I'm louder than she is.
The things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Without a sail.
say G. We'll see. Probably be more like O.
Jesus, the shepherd of my valley. If you don't recognize that, that's a request for you to sing, sweetheart.
See. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd?
try to make it without the Lord. Praise the Lord in the house tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. We need to get you a mic so that they can hear. No? Okay. Amen. Sure. Praise God. Amen. Just to reiterate, the biopsy showed no malignancy. It's benign. Thank God. What a wonderful miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's still in the healing business. Amen. So thankful. Thank you, Sister Gail, for sharing that wonderful testimony of praise. Amen. You know what? Prayer works, doesn't it?
Amen.
Prayer works. Amen. We just need to be more useful of prayer. Amen. And God would answer more prayers if we would just pray with faith, believing. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, go with us to the book of 2 Timothy. Bring some thoughts to you tonight, if we can. Or a thought, maybe. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, verses 22 through 26. The epistle writes, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace." Let me mention those again. This is what we are encouraged to follow: righteousness, faith, charity, love, and peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves." I want to read that again. "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful, God, for your mercy, for your grace, for your abounding love. Lord, for your precious word. As we endeavor to read your word tonight, Father, I pray, God, that you would bring it clear to our hearts and to our minds, that we may be receptive, Lord, submissive and obedient, not only to your word, but to your precious will. Father, we're thankful for the testimonies of praise and healing tonight, and we pray, God, that you would reach out to those who still need a touch of prayer. Bless those who are sick and afflicted. God, and I pray, Lord, that you would have mercy on the unsaved tonight. God, bring them to an altar of repentance. Let there be a revival fire. God, sweep through this land. God, that souls may be set free. Again, Lord, we ask that your spirit would just lead us and guide us and direct us tonight. Anoint these lips of clay, God, in this vessel, God, that you may speak to our hearts, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight for a little while. We want to talk on Satan's snares. Satan's snares. The Bible definition, and there's several reference books that you can go to. I know Webster, some of the other encyclopedias and dictionaries will give a similar definition of a snare. When we think of a snare, we think of something that is used to capture a bird or an animal of sort. But the biblical definition says that it is something by which one is entangled
involved in difficulties, or impeded. Something deceptively attractive. I want us to dwell on that second part tonight, if we can. Something that is deceptively attractive. This week, I've spent a lot of thought and time and even conversation with Sister Penny about the things that Satan is doing in the world today. Camouflaging sin, if you would. I don't, it's like an onion. You peel it back, it's still an onion. But sin is, the devil, we talk about in the word of the Lord, that he does go around roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And we know that that has worked in a number of years and a number of generations. But I'm seeing a different tactic with Satan now. Satan is more deceptive. He's more manipulative. He's more hiding what his real desire is. And his desire is that we would be lost, that we would not be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we would not become righteous and holy before the Lord, and we would not live a righteous and holy life. And Satan's finding out that the more he presses against us, sometimes the more we refrain from listening to him. But if he can make it deceptively attractive, and I believe that's the concept that he has adopted and using very well, by the way, in the world today. I made a statement to Penny. I said, all the wisdom in the world, and listen, I am not against wisdom. I'm a for knowledge and book learning and get all the education that you possibly can and understand. But all the wisdom in the world without common sense is about fruitless. And we're seeing a world today that is simply seeming to have abandoned common sense. They think that you write a law for everything and it's going to cover all of these situations. And then without really thinking about the common sense of the law that they're even putting into play. So common sense. And the Bible encourages us not only to be wise, not only to seek knowledge, but also to put our faith and trust in the Lord. So I want to go to Genesis to set the groundwork on here. The very first book of the Bible in the third chapter. Now God has just created heaven and earth. He's created all the living things, and he's created man and woman here. And he's placed them in the Garden of Eden. Every Sunday school student can recite this story and tell you what happened in creation and how that God formed and fashioned all of these wonderful things. And every once in a while, I like just to go back and read it and refresh my mind on the majesty of God. Imagining taking a world that is void, meaning there's nothing there, nothing to work with. That kind of discounts the Big Bang theory. It kind of discounts a lot of other theories. But God took a world that was void, nothing, just a big hole, and he began to speak creation into it. He began to say, let this be done, and it was done. And he created all of these wonderful things. And now we find in chapter number 3, after God has given instruction to Adam and to Eve, that they have free reign of the garden. Have you ever seen a child that is determined to do what you tell them not to do? We remember at one time in our life, Mom and Dad were keeping little twin girls. And they were precious, and we thought it, and I'm not going to go into a long story, but we thought we was going to get to adopt them, but the mother had changed her mind. But we kept them for several months and through a couple of Christmases. And Mother, this is when we lived over on Rocky Branch Road? Yeah, Rocky Branch Road. And we had sliding doors in the back. So Mother, they would be playing in the floor and just kind of, just really, really good. And so she said, this is a good time. And this is going to tell you how long ago. This is a good time to go hang the clothes out on the line. That's how long ago that was. So Mother would pull back the curtains and the French doors and the window sliding glass so she could see in. So she'd go be hanging her clothes out. And one thing that we'd always told, Mom and Dad always told the girls to, is do not mess with the switch on the wall heaters. It was the old wall heaters and the electric heaters, and you could turn them. But somehow they loved to do it. And they would back up to it sometimes while you were looking at them and turn it on, And Mother would tell them, and she said, this is the perfect time. So they'd be playing in the floor, doing really, really good. She'd go out to hang the clothes, and she'd start to hang them. She'd turn around. They're up out of the floor and over there by the wall heater, trying to turn the heater on. So, again, they would just sneak around and do the very thing that Mother told them not to. And, you could play with all the toys. You can do all this other thing. Just don't mess with the heater controls. And this is what God had given instruction to Adam and Eve. You've got the whole garden. You've got all all of the fruits. You've got everything. You don't have to work for them. It's going to be provided for you. But there's one thing that you cannot touch. You cannot have. You cannot partake of that. So here we find in the third chapter, in verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the every tree of the garden." Listen to the first thing he says. He's asking her. And he's asking her in a way that is similarly, or seeming to me sarcastically, or that you don't really think God means that. He said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden, right? "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." She simply replies, here's what we can do. She didn't say, no, we can't have that. She said, this is what we can have. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Don't, not only not eat of it, don't even touch it, because the moment that you partake of it, you're going to die. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." You can almost kind of hear that sarcasm, or that the deceptiveness in Satan as he comes. And, you know, he still uses that weapon, so to speak. For God doth not know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the snare was pulled. The snare was laying there. The snare was not going to harm them until they became involved into the snare. Now, the snare was not a physical snare, but it was a spiritual snare. And I believe Satan is using that same tactic today. I know that he sets snares in my life. In fact, the Bible was so concerned, or God's Word was so concerned, that over 16 times, mostly in the Old Testament, but as well in the New Testament, there's scriptures referring to being ensnared or entangled or a snare. In the Old Testament, it was basically God speaking to Moses and the Israelites, saying, when you go into a nation in your wilderness journey, when you destroy them and defeat them, do not partake of any of their idols or their gods, lest ye be ensnared. So, again, Satan was laying those snares. And here's the snares. You know, nobody's going to see you. Nobody's going to know about it. But God does. And Satan lays those snares for us. And I thought about that being deceptively attractive. So the snare was set, and I believe that's what he's doing today. And we as a Christian people, we as God-fearing people, we as praying saints of God, need to understand the wiles of the devil, need to understand the deceptiveness and the evilness of Satan. He can sound so encouraging. He can sound so uplifting. He can sound so pleasant. In fact, the Bible said even disguising himself as an angel of light. But he's still a deceptive person, or a deceptive being that will come against us and tell you anything. Tell you exactly what you want to hear. Tell you exactly nothing's going to happen. Oh, God didn't really mean that. You know, I've even heard people say, oh, that's really not what the Bible means. I believe it is. You know, I beg your pardon, but I think the Bible means exactly what it says and says exactly what it means. But Satan uses this device many, many times. Go with us to 2 Peter. I believe is where I want to go next. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. The apostle writes, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." So we've spoken already about the snare that Satan sets. And when we're out in the world, maybe it's harder to recognize the snare. Maybe it's harder to discern evil from good when before we've had a relationship with the Lord and before we've been instructed by the wonderful Word of God. And the instruction of the Word of God is a continuing thing. I know that we have some people here that work with the insurance company, and they're constantly having to go through continuing education. Why? Because rules and regulations and different things are upgraded, sometimes changed. So they have to be abreast of these things, and they have to go through a continuing education. I believe we need to continue our instruction in the Word of God. No better place than I know to find the instruction in the Word of God. Because Satan is liar. He's the father of all lies, and he's manipulative and deceitful. And if you just listen to the pleasant things of the world today, you'll think that nothing is wrong. Everything is totally acceptable. But can I tell us, and I warn us too, what is accepted by society is not always accepted by the Word of God and by God Himself. So we need to be pleasing unto the Lord and understand what is right, what the Lord would say, because many times we refer to, well, what we've heard, or we heard this, or we don't think that the Bible really meant that. Every one of those things is an open snare that Satan has set for us. You know, and he doesn't just get by with just setting one snare. He's constantly trying to set snares with things that people say, with questions that they ask us. I'll tell you another thing, that once you become a born-again Christian, once you dedicate your life unto the Lord and you strive to live a righteous life before God, and the only way we can do that is through the Spirit that lives within us, then you're going to be under the magnifying glass, so to speak, of those procrastinators and those people that are going to look at you and they're going to say, you know, well, they want to watch you and make sure that you walk the straight line. And once you mess up, they're going to be there to remind you of that. And Satan is constantly placing those snares to cause us to stumble or to fall. We have to be on the guard to look for those things. And the Lord has just really been dealing with me this week about the way that the world is headed now and the things that we see on our commercials, the things that we read, the things that we see on the news, and so many things that, you know, sin is still sin. You can water it down all you want to. You can make it to be politically correct. You can make it to be socially acceptable. But if it's against the Word of God, it is still sin, no matter how much you try to water it down. So Satan is trying to manipulate the church. You know, and again, we talk, he's really after the saints of God. That's who he wants. He wants you and I. He wants the people, amen, who've consecrated and dedicated their life to the Lord and are striving to live a righteous life before the Lord. So these are the ones he's setting traps for. So how many has ever heard the word discernment? We need discernment. The best way that I know to get discernment is through the Word of God, praying and fasting and asking God to give us wisdom and guidance and common sense, common spiritual sense, and discernment, to discern what is right and what is wrong. Because sometimes what is wrong sometimes doesn't look that wrong. If you look at it and you see the thing and you say, well, that really couldn't be that bad. But we can't see the after effects. It's almost like a billboard. You only see what the world wants you to see, the front side of the billboard. It doesn't show you on the back side of the billboard. And that's the way Satan uses those tactics. And then another snare is set. Sometimes a snare is set with just a simple question that somebody would ask you. You remember when Jesus was teaching in the synagogues, when Jesus would go around and these crowds would follow him, there was always in the background the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish priests. And what were they doing? They were listening for one word or one phrase or something that he would say so they could use that against him to denounce what he said that he would be. And constantly, and you know what they were doing? They constantly asked him questions. What did Jesus do? Get mad and hit him and punch him in the nose? No. He would turn the question around on them and simply ask them. Many, many times they had to walk away shaking their head because they could not answer the question that he answered. So we understand that sometimes people will just kind of jab you. They'll kind of try to get you mad or upset or in a quarrelsome mood. And all of that is Satan trying to set a snare. Say, yeah, we see how holy and righteous you are. Yeah, you already ready to debate and holler and quarrel over this certain things. And then there again is another snare. Not saying you're backslidden or lost just because you lose your anger or something like that. But it is a trap, And that's what we're talking about, an entanglement, and it's something that is deceptively attractive. Now, if it was flashing with the big red lights and hollering, danger, 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 more than likely, we would not have anything to do with it. Wouldn't it have been nice that when the woman went to pick of the fruit that was the Lord had told her not to partake of, if this big siren went off and the red light started flashing and hollered, danger, 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 but it didn't do that. It doesn't happen. Because why is that? God has made us free moral agents. He has given us the free will to choose who we're going to serve, choose how we're going to serve, choose what we're going to do, choose what we're going to do in our life and what we're going to accept. So we have that. And that's what makes it so wonderful that, you know, God, if he wanted to, he could just make everybody serve him. Of course, he made that perfect world and man messed it up. But what is so great, I think, about for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son is that whosoever will, those are the ones that are receptive. Those are the ones that have the free will to choose to live for the Lord. And those are the ones that Satan wants to entangle or snare. But again, those snares are not set with sirens and crossbars and danger signs. In fact, sometimes they're camouflaged. They're almost unnoticeable. And if we're not careful, we'll step into them or we'll get ourselves right in the middle of an entanglement that looks attractively, but it is deceptive. I want to go to, what is the other one I have here? I believe it's 1 Timothy. Yep. 1 Timothy, and it's the 6th chapter, verse number 9. And if you want to, you can run reference and find, and I know there's way, way more. I found at least 16, a little over 16, but I'm sure there's others that refer to snares. And that, again, that's how detrimental that the Lord thought that they were, that he warned us this many times in the Word of God to beware of these snares. In fact, we could get a little bit more direct and call them traps. The devil would love to entrap you. How many knows and familiar with certain things that go on in a court of law? And one of the things that the attorney does to the opposing witness or whatever, he tries to entrap them with certain words and phrases, trying to do something to get them to not be able to stick to their story or catch them in a falsehood or something like that. And they practice that all the time. Well, think about Satan. I'm not talking about lawyers or Satan, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about lawyer or Satan that will try to get you to mess up, try to get you to say something, try to get you to react to something in a way, amen, that is unbecoming of a Christian. And aren't we trying to be ambassadors for Christ? Not ambassadors for First Pentecostal Church. That's not going to do you too much good. But we're supposed to be Christians, and Christians are Christ-like, meaning that we're Christ-like not only in our beliefs, but we're Christ-like in character. And character goes a long, long way when you're serving the Lord. Because a lot of people, whether you realize it or not, they may never tell you that you've had a positive effect on their life. But if they view you and watch you and they see how you handle yourself, especially in situations where somebody or something may be trying to be entrap you, but you recognize that and use common sense and you don't say something that you're going to regret later, it's going to have a positive effect on them. And they may not tell you, but they might tell somebody else, you know something, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they really try to live a Christian life. That's the greatest testimony that we as a Christian can give, is how other people view us, how we act in the world, and certainly how we act, amen, when we're not within the church perimeter. We're out in the world. So here it says, again, in verse number 9 of the 1 Timothy chapter number 6, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. History is full of people who have gone down because of snares in their life, because of entrapments, because of situations, a desire, a worldly desire, a lustly desire, whether it be money, whether it be fame, whether it be riches, what so many other things in the world that Satan entices us with. You know, he never entices us with what an alcoholic is going to be like. That's not what he wants you to see. He wants you to see the good times. He wants you to see the fun part. He wants you to see the involvement with other things. And other things that he brings to your attention, the drugs and stuff like that. He wants you to be a part of the group. He wants you to fit in. He never shows you strung out or OD'd or somebody, an emergency vehicle, you know, transporting you to the hospital. He doesn't show you the bad side. And he never tries to show you the bad side of any type of sin. He always entraps you and makes it deceptively attractive. And this is where we have to watch. We have to be able to watch and recognize those traps. And they're not always easy to view. They're not always easy to recognize. If, in fact, you ever watch some of the animal shows, and when they're trying to capture the animals or something, they go to great lengths, even with the smell, to get the human smell off of it. They want to hide the trap. Many, many times they'll put the trap under. They'll put leaves and things like that. They don't want the animal to detect in any way that there's a trap there. And what do they do to make it enticing? They put something there, food or bait or a smell, to attract the animal to come. So the animal comes, and even at that, many, many times the animal is able to recognize that something is not right. And you've even seen on trail cams, Brother Jim, sometimes they'll come up to it and they'll sniff around, and even though it looks good and enticing, there's something that's just not right. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us. If it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't look right, if something about it just doesn't meet your spirit, then chances are it's a deceptive snare. It's a trap that Satan has set for us. And again, we're talking spiritual things, and they're not always easily recognizable. But with common sense and with spiritual discernment, I can't express enough how important it is to have discernment. Discernment is able to understand. You know, there's a shirt, I don't know if it's still popular or not, but it said no fear. Have y'all seen the shirts that says no fear? Basically, we need to understand that there is fear in this world. Now, with God, we don't have to fear the things of Satan and the things of the world. But on our own, there's a certain fearful, dangerous situation, man, that's always enticing us or trying to come against us. So we have to have that discernment to recognize that. And, you know, sometimes young people really can't recognize the danger. Yesterday, we were trying to keep Trey entertained and all and keep him off his phone. So Penny said, let's go up to Cartersville and see the Indian Mounds at Etowah. We hadn't been up there in years and years and years. So naturally, we went up through there, and you know how little boys are. Couldn't climb the hill fast enough because all those steps we got up there. And, of course, Penny was coming behind, and she says, Eddie, get a hold of him. Grab his hand. Grab his hand. Because he runs to the edge and looks down. And, of course, I was right on the edge with him, but I was holding him. But in Penny's mind, you know, oh, you could just see him falling off of that big mound, you know. But being a young child, you want to get as close as you can to look down or see those things. And many times, a young Christian or a young convert will get just as close to the edge. And when I'm talking about the things of the world, the enticement of Satan, not wanting to voluntarily step over that line, but sometimes not recognizing where that danger lies, that spiritual danger. And another thing that really produces discernment is experience. Can I get a witness? Can I get a testimony? When we've tried it, and you know what? We found out that it was evil, that it wasn't right, it wasn't good for our spirit, it wasn't good for us. Then we learn about that. You know, things like don't touch the hot stove the second time. One time should be plenty enough to know that we don't do that anymore, our situation. So we learn from our mistakes, we learn from our failures, and thank God that He is a God of forgiveness. Amen. Aren't you glad that He doesn't discount us or discard us the first time that we get entrapped or ensnared? Because I can testify there's been so many times that I've been caught up in these snares. And that's the reason I'm presenting that or trying to convey that to you. It's very, very easy to get caught in these things because Satan is constantly trying to trip us up. But the more we know about God, the more we put our faith and trust in Him, fasting and praying, worshiping and praising the Lord and striving to live a righteous life. And a righteous life, what I'm talking about, you know, perfect, you know, in the Bible we talk about perfect. Perfect basically means being complete. And we're complete in the Lord. Amen. We have everything that we need to fight against the devil, against those evil, the wiles of the devil, the fiery darts that he's constantly firing at us. The Lord has given us a breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and he's given us that shield of faith. And how many is thankful for that shield of faith, that we can constantly hold that shield up, amen, and repel those fiery darts that Satan is constantly, how many can agree with that? He's constantly trying to trip you up. He's constantly trying to aggravate you. He's constantly trying to do something to cause you to lose your temper, to lose your victory, or whatever the case may be. But as Christians, we are victorious. In fact, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ, amen, which strengthens us and gives that us ability not only to recognize those snares, amen, but to beware of them and not be entangled again. I think I had one more, and I can't remember. I don't believe I wrote it down. But it was basically that once we are in, it might have been in 2 Peter. Let me see, check that out just again for a moment. Exactly, yeah, the 20. I've already read it, but there was a point I wanted to make. In verse 20 of the second chapter of 2 Peter, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." So it's not an impossibility to go back and be entangled in the same trap that we once was entangled in. But God being a God of mercy, God being a God of forgiveness, amen, and long-suffering, will bear with us and forgive us if we come again to him. Say, "Lord, I've done it again. I messed up." Now, maybe you've never had that situation to happen, but there's times that, you know what? What is the saying, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me." And I've had to say that to Satan sometimes. You know, "Satan, I recognize this. I know what God said. And man, I just, you know, here I am doing the same thing." And I said, "Lord, forgive me. Please, please don't let me go down that same road. Don't let me get trapped in that same snare, amen, that Satan has set before us." And maybe you've never had any problems with Satan. Maybe he's never bugged you. Maybe he's never come against you and tried to get you upset. But I, for one, have had to fight him tooth and nail just about every day of my life. And you know what? Most Christians would tell you the same thing. It's a constant battle. But even in that constant battle, how many knows we are winners and we're victorious? God bless you. I love you. Amen. Each and every one of you. I appreciate you. If you would, if you have some time, sometimes follow up on that reference, follow up on scriptures. I believe God has something for us to learn and be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, to come against him, amen, with a greater power than he comes against us. Even Jesus, we understand, you know, "Lord, get Satan away from me. Don't let him bug me." But we understand that he even tempted Christ three times after he was baptized and went into the wilderness. He was constantly on him. And what did Christ fight him with? The Word. He used the Word of the Lord. That's what will make us victorious. Use the Word anytime Satan comes against you. And understand these trials that I'm talking about are these snares and entrapments. Most of them, what I'm talking about, are spiritual things that Satan comes against us. Amen. God bless you. If you stand tonight, if you have a need of prayer, please come. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Amen. As we get ready to depart, again, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your attentiveness. Remember, Sunday, we will be having Sunday service. It's July the 4th, and we will be having Sunday service. Almost like a neck. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke this, Lord. Father, we know, God, that you're greater than any problem. Father, I pray for Susan's body. God, I pray for her spirit and I pray for her mind, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just place a hedge about her, God. Lord, give her that faith, that shield of faith, God, to fight off every fiery dart that comes against her. God, as we stand with her, beside her right now, in one mind and one accord, God, give her victory, Lord, over this problem. Give her victory over this sickness. In Jesus' name we pray, lifting you up, Lord, and giving you all praise and glory. We ask this blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Thank you, sweet Jesus. Praise your glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, Sunday we will be having service. Sunday night we're going to be having an ice cream social, so come prepared if you like ice cream. You'll love this service. We'll probably come in and maybe have a couple of praise and worship songs, and then as we get the ice cream prepared, and then we'll go out to the Curtis Center and enjoy a time of fellowship and some good old homemade ice cream. If you don't like homemade ice cream, I think there's going to be some store-bought ice cream too, so you can have all the store-bought ice cream you want, and I'll eat the homemade. Amen. All minds and hearts and everybody clear? All right. Sister Lori. We bring the ice cream. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. 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 Everybody show up, no ice cream. Yeah, please bring homemade ice cream or store-bought ice cream. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, it'd be bad if you showed up and we didn't have any ice cream. It'd be hard. We'd have to send somebody up store to make some. So if you have a homemade ice cream freezer, make us a good. I'm hoping Sister Penny's going to make us some peach. And we'll see. But God bless you. Brother Jim, come dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God bless you. We love you so very much.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for praise. Just want to worship Him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful time of year. God is great. He's really busy right now. I just feel His presence and just all the messages going forth and all the prayer reports that's going out, the praise reports. We just praise God for each and every one. If there's anyone watching on the live feed or on the feed today or at a later date, if you have a prayer request, just please place it in there and we'll be praying with you. We just know Almighty God. Like I said to me every time, it's not about us, it's all about Him. Amen. In the name of Jesus. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. Praise the Lord. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just thank You.
Yes.
Lord, we just want to praise Your holy name. Dear Lord, we want to lift You up and honor You with everything that we have. Dear Lord, now as we prepare to depart, dear Lord, we want to thank You for the message tonight, but ask You to protect us, guide us, bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. This busy season of all the vacations, all the travels, those people that will be in and out of town, dear Lord, whether it be for work or for pleasure, Lord, we ask for Your safety to be upon them, dear Lord. We know that, again, during this holiday weekend, dear Lord, for Your hand of protection to be on each and every one of us. We give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Don't forget Sunday school, Sunday morning.